King Prataparudra of Orissa, the Oriya devotees Krishnananda and Shivananda, Paramananda Mahapatra, Bhagavan Acharya, Brahmananda Bharati, Sri Shiki Mahiti and Murari Mahiti, constantly associated with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu while he resided in Jagannath Puri. A purport by Srila Prabhupada. Prataparudra Maharaj, who belonged to the dynasty of the Ganga kings and whose capital was in Cuttack, was the emperor of Orissa and a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was by the arrangement of Ramananda Roy and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that he was able to serve Lord Chaitanya. In the Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, it is said that King Indrajumna, who established the temple of Jagannath thousands of years ago, later took birth in his own family as Maharaj Prataparudra during the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Maharaj Prataparudra was as powerful as King Indra. The drama named Chaitanya Chandradaya was written under his direction. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat Antya Leela, Chapter 5, Paramananda Mahapatra is described as follows. Paramananda Mahapatra was among the devotees who took birth in Orissa and accepted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as their only asset. In the ecstasy of conjugal love, he always thought of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhagavan Acharya, a very learned scholar, was formerly an inhabitant of Haili Sahara, but he left everything to live with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. His relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was friendly, like that of a cowherd boy. He was always friendly to Swarup Gosai, but he was staunchly devoted to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He sometimes invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his house. This is quite a long purport, we're about halfway through. Bhagavan Acharya was very liberal and simple. His father, Shatananda Khan, was completely materialistic, and his younger brother, Gopal Bhattacharya, was a staunch Mayavadi philosopher who had studied very elaborately. When his brother came to Jagannath Puri, Bhagavan Acharya wanted to hear from him about Mayavad philosophy, but Swarup Damodar forbade him to do so, and there the matter stopped. Once a friend of Bhagavan Acharya's from Bengal wanted to recite a drama that he had written that was against the principles of devotional service. And although Bhagavan Acharya wanted to recite this drama before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar, the Lord's secretary, did not allow him to do so. Later, Swarup Damodar pointed out in the drama many mistakes and disagreements with the conclusion of devotional service, and the author became aware of the faults in his writing and then surrendered to Swarup Damodar, begging his mercy. This is described in the Antya Leela, Chapter 5, verses 91 to 166. In the Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, verse 189, it is said that Shiki Mahiti was formerly an assistant of Srimati Radharani, named Ragalekha. His sister Madhavi was also an assistant of Srimati Radharani and was named Kala Keli. Shiki Mahiti, Madhavi and their brother Murari Mahiti were all unalloyed devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who could not forget him for a moment of their lives. There is a book in the Oriya language called Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya, in which there are many narrations about Shiki Mahiti. One narration concerns his seeing an ecstatic dream. Shiki Mahiti was always engaged in serving the Lord in his mind. One night, while he was rendering such service, he fell asleep, and while he was asleep, his brother and sister came to awaken him. At that time he was in full ecstasy because he was having a wonderful dream that Lord Chaitanya, while visiting the temple of Jagannath, was entering and again coming out of the body of Jagannath and looking at the Jagannath deity. Thus, as soon as he awakened, he embraced his brother and sister and informed them, "My dear brother and sister, I have had a wonderful dream that I shall now explain to you. The activities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Sachi, are certainly most wonderful. I saw that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while visiting the temple of Jagannath, was entering the body of Jagannath and again coming out of his body. I am still seeing the same dream. Do you think I have become deranged? I am still seeing the same dream. And the most wonderful thing is that as soon as I came near Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he embraced me with his long arms." As he spoke to his brother and sister in this way, Shiki Mahiti's voice faltered, and there were tears in his eyes. Thus the brother and sister went to the temple of Jagannath, and there they saw Lord Chaitanya in Jagamohan, looking at the beauty of Sri Jagannath deity, just as in Shikhi Mahiti's dream. The Lord was so magnanimous that he immediately embraced Shikhi Mahiti, exclaiming, "You are the elder brother of Murari." Being thus embraced, Shikhi Mahiti felt ecstatic transcendental bliss. Thus he and his brother and sister always engaged in rendering service to the Lord. Murari Mahiti, the youngest brother of Shikhi Mahiti, is described in the Madhya Leela, chapter 10, verse 44. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shakya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurubhaye Namaha. So this is a very nice verse and a wonderful purport by Srila Prabhupada. And it's all about the wonderful devotees who participated in the Lord's pastimes. This entire chapter is about the trunk, the branches, the twigs, all the aspects that are connected to the Lord, and specifically all the personalities that are connected to Lord Chaitanya. So we've spent quite some time going through chapter 10, and there are a few more verses to go. And after this, Krishna Das Kaviraj speaks about Lord Nityananda, because there is a very important theme in that devotees always want to hear about the devotees of the Lord. So we'll come a little more to that later. But I thought I could maybe touch a little bit about, speak something on some of the personalities mentioned here. They're not personalities who crop up too often in our scriptures, but some of them are very, very special. This purport starts with Prataparudra Maharaj, who was a very, very exalted person. He was a king. He was a king of Orissa. And he had one employee, well, not quite employee, he was the governor of Madras, Ramananda Roy. And he was working under King Prataparudra. And the two of them are very special and important characters. In Prataparudra's pastimes, there are three or four prominent activities that happened. The main characteristic of King Prataparudra's pastimes is that he was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya had no interest whatsoever in meeting him. And this is a very interesting interaction. Here is a very staunch, very devoted, loyal follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as soon as he heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had actually come to Orissa from Bengal, he immediately discussed with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And the key to many of King Prataparudra's pastimes is actually his connection with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to explain to him about this great person, for he had developed some spontaneous love for him. And he even requested a meeting with Lord Chaitanya on many occasions. Now, because he was close to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the advisor to the king, and he worshipped him as a brahmana in that capacity. And he directly petitioned him on a number of occasions, "Ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to please give me an audience." But Mahaprabhu wouldn't have any of it. Mahaprabhu had built up a reputation of being totally disinterested in anyone who was interested in wealth, women, money, all the allurements of the modern day world. So that was a standard operating principle of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's. And so he, at least in this pastime with King Prataparudra, carried it out very, very strictly. Now, King Prataparudra, understanding that he was a king, materialistic, attached to money and position and control, knew that he also had no automatic right to see the Lord. So he adopted a very humble position, and this actually gives an insight into some of his character and glories. And he would always inquire from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya about the pastimes of the Lord. What is the Lord doing now? Who are those devotees that he's meeting? And he was asking him, how is it that somehow I can become pleasing to the Lord so he will bestow his mercy on him? So now many events happened in this story of King Prataparudra. One of the items that changed Mahaprabhu's mind was his dealing with other devotees. And Ramananda Roy, at a certain point, was instructed by Lord Chaitanya and the Vaishnavas that he should simply give up his service, his governmental service, and actually spend the rest of his life dedicated to devotional service at the feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he went to King Prataparudra, who was his senior, if you like, and he put forward this proposition. He says, "The Lord wants me to give up my service." Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki. He said, "The Lord wants me to give up my service, and I also wish to give up this position as governor of Madras. Please, can you facilitate me?" King Prataparudra thought, this is my opportunity to serve the devotees of Mahaprabhu. What a great fortune that I myself cannot enter into the association of Mahaprabhu, but somehow this Ramananda Roy has entered his association. So he immediately on the spot granted him a full pension and said, "You please carry on serving Mahaprabhu. It is my great fortune and mercy that somehow I've been able to serve your lotus feet." So Ramananda Roy, very pleased, went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and amongst all the different devotees who were gathered there to meet him, he related this very kind and very eager attitude of the king to serve Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya's heart somewhat softened, but not fully, because he described him in such a wonderfully glorious way, where Lord Chaitanya's prime qualities that he was encouraging in everyone could actually be seen in the form of Maharaj Prataparudra, particularly his humility and great service attitude. So after that point, Maharaj Prataparudra, under the advice of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, had the chance to see the Lord during Snani Yatra, and then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya hatched a particular scheme whereby King Prataparudra could see the Lord. And at Snani Yatra, as the Lord was greeting all the devotees who were arriving from Bengal, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya went to the rooftop with the king. And he pointed out to him all the different devotees who were there. And all the different associates of the Lord were coming one by one. Mahaprabhu was greeting them all with garland, sandalwood paste, looking to their welfare. And then he arranged accommodation for approximately 200 devotees who had come to Puri. So Maharaj Prataparudra particularly offered this service and made sure in this way that all of the devotees were nicely accommodated, had nice prasad, nice access to Jagannath temple. And through the association of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he got to learn who these devotees were that were dear to the Lord. Now the special plan that was hatched by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was that the Lord would engage in the Rathayatra procession. And after dancing in ecstasy, he would go to a particular garden. And at that point, he would be very merciful. And so the king was advised, that you should go in this garden and await to receive the mercy of the Lord. And when he comes, you can please him by reciting verses which specifically discuss Radha and Krishna's pastimes in the Rasa Leela. So he took this instruction as a great benediction. He said to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, "You are the most learned person I know. If you say this Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord and this will please and attract him, then certainly I will do that." So during the procession, of course, we know King Prataparudra with a special broom was sweeping the road, and Mahaprabhu also observed this. At one point, Mahaprabhu deliberately fell down in front of the king. Up until this point, there had been no direct interaction with the king. And he fell down in front of the king. Now normally his associates, Swarup Damodar and others, would be there to pick him up. But somehow by the Lord's arrangement they weren't visible. So King Prataparudra was there, Mahaprabhu was lying in front of him, so he picked him up with his arms. However, Mahaprabhu saw this. As soon as he came back to consciousness, he was extremely upset, very angry. And he said, "Oh no, I've been touched by a materialistic person. I'm going to hell." It was up to the others, it was up to the other devotees, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, to console the king and say to him, "Actually, Mahaprabhu is very pleased with you. No one would have this opportunity to serve him in that way. He is very happy with you, but he still needs to set this example of just how dangerous it is for a person in the renounced order to have close dealings with someone who is materialistic." Lord Chaitanya heard the arguments and he said, it's not so much that I have a problem with him, he's a devotee, but the fact that he has adopted this name king immediately makes me repelled, immediately repels me. The fact that he's a king and all that goes with it directly makes me want to keep away. But anyway, the procession continued, and then eventually they went to this garden, and on cue almost, the king was there. Mahaprabhu lay down, he was in some transcendental consciousness. And after offering dandavats, he had the chance to massage the Lord's lotus feet. And the Lord didn't object. And as he was massaging, he started to recite some verses from the Bhagavatam, verses from, he started to recite the verse, Tavakathamritam, Taptijivanam. And Mahaprabhu went into ecstasy upon hearing this, and he said, carry on reciting. And he just carried on speaking more and more verses. He was a great learned devotee. He had had so much association from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya Ramananda Roy that he was fully capable of pleasing the Lord in the manner that the Lord wanted. And so this went on for some time, and at a certain point, Mahaprabhu got up in complete ecstasy and embraced the king. And this was the fulfillment of the king's desire. In a similar way to how Krishna spoke to the gopis, he said, I have nothing to repay you with. So Mahaprabhu also said to the king, he said, you have just recited these wonderful pastimes which immediately take me to Vrindavan. There is nothing I can actually offer you. All I can do is embrace you. And the king was very happy with that. He accepted the Lord's embrace and understood that the Lord had actually accepted him as his dearmost servant. And the ticket to all of this, of course, was the king's very humble attitude. His complete understanding that he himself actually had nothing to offer the Lord. And actually, if we want to approach the Lord, we have to adopt that attitude. There is a nice analogy I've heard that, the analogy of a magnet. The Lord is repelled by individuals who exhibit qualities which the Lord already possesses in full. So we know the Lord is Bhagavan. He's full of all opulence. Name, fame, beauty, power, opulence, knowledge, wisdom, renunciation, all of these things are part of the Lord. So when someone comes before the Lord and they either display their opulence, or they display their great learning, or they attempt to display their great renunciation, it actually repels the Lord. Because the Lord doesn't actually require any of these qualities. He's full and complete in himself. However, if someone comes before the Lord in actually a feeling of humility, with a feeling that I actually have nothing to offer you, my Lord. Somehow I'm coming before you because that is my constitutional position. That very much attracts the Lord. So there's that saying, opposite attract. So just like a magnet has two poles, north and south, you obviously have to get the north pole with the south pole if there is to be some attraction. So Maharaj Prataparudra very much exemplified this. And it is not just Prataparudra Maharaj who obtained the mercy of the Lord, but his son also. Because earlier on, the king, Lord Chaitanya, refused to see the king and refused to have any dealings with him. So being petitioned by Ramananda Roy, he said, okay, send your son. The son is supposed to be an expansion of the father in one sense. So the son came, and the son had a blackish complexion. He was a young boy, and he had a yellow dhoti, and he looked like Krishna. And Mahaprabhu appreciated this very much. He said, just by looking at you, I'm thinking of Krishna. What a glorious child you are. And he embraced him. And then he said to the servant, ask this boy to come back every day. And so it's described that that son became a participant in Mahaprabhu's leelas. And of course, King Prataparudra immediately embraced his son when he came home. He was very happy to hear this. And he said, simply by embracing you, I'm feeling great ecstasy. So these are some of the glories. There's obviously a great deal of detail in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about King Prataparudra. But for us, he particularly exemplifies how if someone is in a very powerful position, a great position, it actually is of no interest to the Lord. But the Lord also doesn't exclude such a person. The Lord will also happily accept such a person when they display and demonstrate a certain level of behavior. So he's one of the persons mentioned in this. And so I thought we could also look at another personality, Bhagavan Acharya. It's described that his relationship was friendly like that of a cowherd boy. And he was friendly to Swarup Gosai, but he was staunchly devoted to the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. And he invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his house. Now what's interesting here is Bhagavan Acharya's family. I don't know if any of you have a family like this. His father was completely materialistic. And his younger brother was a staunch Mayavadi philosopher. So you can imagine some of the discussions that took place there. And amidst them you have Bhagavan Acharya, who is a pure devotee of the Lord. However, there is one quality or aspect of Bhagavan Acharya which is not described in too much of a favorable aspect, although it sounds very nice. Prabhupada writes, Bhagavan Acharya was very liberal and simple. So what's wrong with that? Well, it's described that being very liberal, he had an easygoing attitude to different types of philosophies. And on one occasion he invited, his brother was a Mayavadi and he'd gone to study Vedanta. And he wanted Mahaprabhu, and he wanted Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to hear the philosophy of his brother. He said, oh look, he's gone to study and he's spoken Vedanta. And he came and he was prevented from doing so by Swarup Damodar Maharaj. And there's another occasion also when a poet from Bengal came. And this poet had composed a poem which he wanted to read to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now everyone knew that if any composition was offered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it would first have to be vetted by Swarup Damodar Maharaj. So this Brahmana came to see Swarup Damodar. I thought I'd read the little section as it's referenced here in the purport also. Bhagavan Acharya, he says to Swarup Damodar Goswami, a Brahmana has prepared a drama about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that appears exceptionally well composed. First you hear it, and if it is acceptable to your mind, I shall request Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to hear it. So Swarup Damodar Goswami says, dear Bhagavan Acharya, you are a very liberal cowherd boy. Sometimes the desire awakens within you to hear any kind of poetry. In the writings of so-called poets, there is generally a possibility of overlapping transcendental mellows. When the mellows thus go against the conclusive understanding, no one likes to hear such poetry. A so-called poet who has no knowledge of transcendental mellows and the overlapping of transcendental mellows cannot cross the ocean of the conclusions of devotional service. A poet who does not know the grammatical regulative principles, who is unfamiliar with metaphorical ornaments, especially those which are much loved in drama, and who does not know how to present the pastimes of the Lord, is condemned. Moreover, the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are especially condemned. Only one who has accepted the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his life and soul can describe the pastimes of Lord Krishna or the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hearing the poetry of a person who has no transcendental knowledge and who writes about the relationships between man and woman simply causes unhappiness, whereas hearing the words of a devotee fully absorbed in ecstatic love causes great happiness. Now this is an important principle which actually exhibited itself in many of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. If there was a materialistic person and the person was coming forward to offer something and offer an act of worship or some kind of offering or presentation to the Lord, Mahaprabhu, through his servants as vetting agents, would often prevent that. And he was setting a very important point. We know from the Bhagavatam, of course, in the beginning, as Narad Muni instructs Vyasadeva, in terms of what types of compositions are pleasing. Nayad vachaschitra padam harer yasho jagat pavitram pragrinita karichit tadvayasam tirtham ushanti manasa nayatrahamsa niramantyo shikshaya. It describes that those topics, those compositions which are concerned with worldly affairs, those compositions which are very attractive to crows. Crows generally hunt around in places of garbage. Those compositions which deal with mundane activities, they're full of metaphorical similes, they're full of so many interesting aspects. Those are areas where the Vaishnavas, the pure devotees don't go anywhere near. The pure swan is never found in the areas where the crows congregate. So where such compositions take place, that's compared to the place of pilgrimage for the crows, that Vayasam Tirtham. However, and he goes on to explain, Tadvag Visargo Janatanga Viplavo, Yasmin Prati Shlokam Abadhavatyapi. Now this is interesting. Yasmin Prati Shlokam Abadhavatyapi. So on the other hand, if there is a composition, even if Prati Shlokam Abadhavatyapi, within every shloka there is some discrepancy, or some slight mistake, or some minor shortcoming, perhaps grammatically. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin prati shlokam abhadavatyapi namani anantasya yasho ankitani yat shrinvanti gayanti grananti sadhava namani anantasya yasho ankitani yat. If those shlokas contain glories of the name, fame, form, qualities and pastimes of the Lord, they are accepted by purified persons who are like the swans. So the quality of the composition, in a compositional sense, is clearly not what's valued by the Lord, and is clearly not what is able to transform people's hearts. The devotional mood of the person and their consciousness is the key factor. So if someone exhibits, or as it's described here, if someone for a daily basis or for their occupation writes poetries, as is described here, about mundane relationships between man and woman. Most dramas, most films, Bollywood, Hollywood, they're mostly concerned around this principle of sense enjoyment. If such a person then tries to write a great devotional composition and offers it in a society of devotees as being a devotional offering, generally devotees will not take it too seriously. There are interesting aspects which crop up in Prabhupada's pastimes also. Prabhupada said that when dramas are performed, they should A, be composed by devotees. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj wrote a drama also under Prabhupada's direction. And he also said, as far as possible, those who act in those dramas should also be devotees. There is no question of a non-devotee claiming to be Narad Muni and parading around the stage with his veena, chanting Krishna, 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 whilst in the rest of his lifetime, or rest of his pastimes in life, he's engaged in something else. If actually a devotee who practices the principles themselves then acts as a conduit for exhibiting those principles, that is a very nice combination. And that is exactly the lesson that's being taught here to us. Bhagavan Acharya was a nice devotee. He was actually, as we read, he was a very dear associate of the Lord, almost on a fraternal basis. And he would interact very intimately with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Being liberal, being very great also, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would eat at his house. So now, we know some of the pastimes, how strict Mahaprabhu was regarding whose place he ate at. Still he went there. So obviously this is a person who's exhibiting a very special type of interaction for us. And because he was very liberal and he had an open attitude to many types of compositions and people. So philosophically, his demonstrated activities were not up to the caliber that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya demanded. Now what happens very nicely here is that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya or Swarup Damodar Maharaj, they actually chastise Bhagavan Acharya. And they say to him, what are you doing? This stuff is not fit to be offered to Lord Chaitanya. So you should immediately stop this nonsense. Now obviously there's a whole lesson in this, we don't have time to go into the whole pastime. Even essentially Swarup Damodar Maharaj hears, Swarup Damodar Goswami hears the composition of this Brahmana and he rejects it because it relates to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Jagannath in a way which is not quite in keeping with Siddhanta. And so he rejects that, he becomes very angry. And up until that point, all the devotees were saying, oh, this is a nice poem. So after hearing this very staunch rejection, the devotees develop a more sober mood. They realize that actually, coupled with the emotion of Krishna consciousness, there is actually a very strong need for a very serious, strong, shastric background, which has a complete understanding of the actual Vedanta and the actual philosophy and truths, the actual Siddhanta. It is probably a risk for all of us also that we may sometimes get carried away in our natural attempts to be liberal and to encourage Krishna consciousness practice in as many people as possible. So we may sometimes adopt, or we may sometimes tolerate what is a reduced standard. The danger doesn't so much come if a reduced standard is accepted as part of a path of progress. Because after all, who comes to Krishna consciousness and immediately practices as a pure devotee from day one? No, there are so many steps that we all have to go through. And there's such a transition period between first coming to Krishna and then actually operating by following the principles very purely, not just externally but in spirit also. So there's always a progression. And Prabhupada gives us some hints also. He says, some people, if there's a drunk person or a drunkard, and they obviously are very accustomed to drinking wine, beer or whatever. Now that person can become Krishna conscious. How? If they see that delicious taste or feeling they get in that wine as Krishna. In the early days when Prabhupada was preaching amongst the hippies, many of them were taking LSD. And so they asked, what is this chanting like? And simply to relate to them, Prabhupada said, it is like an ocean of LSD. So you have some experience of taking a little LSD, what wonderful colors and things you see. But now take this chanting, and that's the real feeling you'll get. Now we can take both of those two circumstances and say, oh, Prabhupada is endorsing drinking alcohol, and he's endorsing LSD. Is that correct? Not really. But is it correct for a particular person at a particular stage in their advancement? Definitely. Because for that person, the first connection they need to make is that whatever attractive there is in this world, it is Krishna's essence. I am the taste of the water, I am the light of the sun, I am the fragrance of the earth. There's an entire chapter, specifically in the Gita, designed to teach people how to see that everything in the world around them, which they are completely accustomed to, can be linked to Krishna. So there naturally has to be a progression. And when devotees guide others in their Krishna conscious progress, they will also encourage them to take it step by step. Okay, do this, but don't do this, and maybe make a little change here. Now, a couple of years later it might be, okay, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But all are accepted as part of the process. But what is very important is that the actual Siddhanta should not be compromised at any point. If a specific adjustment is made due to time, place and circumstance for a particular individual, maybe in a particular situation, that should not be taken as a principle. And it should not be taken as a principle by us also. No doubt we actually, in our own situations made for us by our seniors, our mentors, our spiritual masters, we have a certain framework of devotional service within which we operate. Probably in a few years' time, we will look back at that and think, oh, there were so many discrepancies in that. I'm not doing any of these things anymore. And my practice is so much purer than it was. So hopefully that's a mood that keeps us going in devotional life. The quest for ever-increasing purity and loyalty to the Lord. But it has to start somewhere. And so we have to understand exactly how Bhagavan Acharya, despite having this discrepancy, if you like, was able to carry on as a dear servant of the Lord. This was due to the efforts of his seniors, due to the efforts of those serious devotees whom he was associating with. This is Swarup Damodar Maharaj and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So as Prabhupada says here, when his brother came to Jagannath Puri, Bhagavan Acharya wanted to hear from him about Mayavad philosophy, but Swarup Damodar forbade him to do so, and there the matter stopped. So now Bhagavan Acharya's qualification is that he humbly accepted the guidance of Swarup Damodar Maharaj. Actually, it's not a problem to be liberal. It's not a problem to be to have a poor understanding of Shastra. I mean, which of us can claim to have a perfect understanding of Shastra? Shastra is directly the Lord Himself. And each one of us has so much deficiency in our level of understanding of Shastra. And the saving grace for us is, despite our disqualifications, is that if we humbly take shelter of the devotees who are knowledgeable and advanced, and this is the key aspect, actually advanced, then we actually attract the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We attract the mercy of our spiritual masters. And we eventually get the mercy of Lord Krishna. So our disqualification, there are so many deficiencies we have. Those are not considered. If we simply possess this quality of Bhagavan Acharya, that of humility. Because then actually everything is revealed. And even though the chastisement may be a little tough sometimes, it is still very much welcomed. In terms of our own lives, I often observe there are two broad categories of practitioners. There are those who look to the best example of something. They look to the highest practitioner in some sense. Some devotee could be very, very good at chanting japa. Someone else could be very knowledgeable in the scriptures. Someone could have a very wonderful attitude towards deity worship. So a person who is advancing will naturally try to attach themselves or connect themselves to the best example that they can find. And then on the other hand, there are those who are kind of going with the flow. And they may not necessarily always look for the best example because it contrasts with their own example. Now, being in a situation where there's some discomfort is something we don't like. So we generally like to consider that the situation we have for ourselves devotionally is nice, and it's a situation that should continue just as it is. It's a situation which gives us comfort. But the contrast between the two is that the second person will actually look at other examples, perhaps of people who are not following something up to as high a standard as the first category. And they will use that to justify their own performance. So for instance, if someone's performance in a particular area is pointed out, and they will say, oh, it's okay, I'm still a neophyte bhakta, I've still got to advance. And look at him, he's doing this also. Oh, look at him, he's doing this. Oh, look at her, she did this. And that's accepted. So this is not generally useful for a progressive devotee. It's something we all do because it's our nature. It's our nature that if our comfort zone is disturbed a bit, we will look for excuses for that not to happen. But the devotee or devotees who you see progressing very nicely and very rapidly, they're not interested in the lower example. They look to the highest example. They look to a practitioner who is so exceptional in the particular area, whose practice, whose worship, whose personal standards may be very, very high. And they look to that person and they think, my standard is so low in comparison. I know I can't adopt this standard immediately, but I do aspire to come to that standard. And that is the underlying mentality which then fuels our progress. If we have a mentality of just working within the situation and just carrying on, and we may be very nice also and liberal, that will impede our progress. Or if it doesn't directly impede, it will cause our progress to stagnate. We actually should always be looking for a higher example to follow. And there are many, many examples. There are numerous examples of exalted devotees who have some exalted ability in some department or other. And we can simply take their advice, serve them, as the devotees here are doing. And then we actually have a chance to move forward in leaps and bounds. And this is also why we have the society where there are living saints. Sometimes we're called the Society of Living Saints. Normally in the Christian tradition, a saint, you become a saint after you've passed away. You're canonized, that's the term. Canonized, and then you're bestowed the title saint. Other people have described this as the society of living saints, which means there are practitioners who themselves are actually displaying great levels of advancement. And we should grab that opportunity. This whole Leela with Prataparudra Maharaj, Bhagavan Acharya, and some of the other personalities mentioned here, Shikhi Mahiti and others, is there to teach us just how important the devotees of the Lord are as an agent for us to come to the Lord, as a medium for us to come to the Lord. Krishna is there on the altar, he's smiling, he's probably looking bemused at many of us, especially when we tell him our plans. That's a good way to make the Lord chuckle. Tell him your plans, because he knows the supreme plan for everyone. Yet he's very pleasing, and sometimes it can be a little difficult to decipher what he wants us to do. This is why we have the devotees, who can actually act as that translating medium. King Prataparudra had no idea how to attract the favor of the Lord. The Lord had flatly rejected him. He said, "I'm not going anywhere near this king." And after a few occasions, the king was really despondent. But simply because of his association with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Roy, when they made the appeal to Krishna, to Lord Chaitanya on his behalf, the Lord's heart was softened. And so we also hear Prabhupada says, we ask Radharani, Srimati Radharani, to make our offering to Krishna. We ask Srimati Radharani to petition Krishna, please cast your glance upon this individual, because he has no hope otherwise. Now Krishna himself doesn't really have to do anything. Especially this comes out in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in Antya Leela. He became increasingly independent and literally would do whatever he liked. And sometimes he would embrace the devotees, sometimes he would chastise them. But there are some very deep and wonderful pastimes in Puri specifically, towards the end, where the Lord's supreme independence comes out. So if the Lord decides that he doesn't want to interact with someone, there's no one can actually do anything. But somehow his heart can be softened if a devotee appeals on another person's behalf. So that is our mood. There are so many devotees mentioned here. Another one is Shikhi Mahiti. Now, we read here that he was formerly an assistant of Srimati Radharani, and his sister Madhavi was also an assistant of Srimati Radharani. So both of them are described, well, Madhavi is described as one of the 3.5 confidential companions of the Lord. It's a very interesting aspect. Swarup Damodar Maharaj, Ramananda Roy, and Madhavi as the half. And their devotion is in a different league. So just as Queen Kunti prays, when she's offering her prayers to Krishna, she starts recounting the glories of the other devotees. She starts recounting the glories of the damsels in Vraj, of the cowherd boys, who actually get to worship Krishna directly. This has a calming effect on Krishna. This has a pleasing effect on Krishna. Simply by mentioning the names of his devotees, the Lord becomes favorably disposed, and he accepts Queen Kunti's prayers with great, great relish. So we have the chance here to read all these prayers, to read all the words, to read the pastimes, to hear just how these interactions take place. And then we actually get a sense of what we need to do to come closer to the Lord. It is a very nice chapter. There are just a few more verses left, but we are directly reading about the confidential associates of the Lord. And it's not necessarily that we have to try to derive some lesson in our lives always when we read scripture. Clearly, even in today's class, as we've discussed, there are so many lessons for us to implement. But sometimes it is nice just to simply read about these historical personalities, just to hear their lifetimes, just to hear their pastimes, how they spent their life, how they conducted themselves, without any kind of personal motive. If we just simply hear those pastimes, read them, we actually get a history lesson. Ah, Brahmananda Bharati, Sri Shikhi Mahiti, Murari Mahiti. These are the historical personalities that Prabhupada wants us to understand. And an entire chapter is given over to this. This chapter contains over 100 verses 150 verses or so. And Lord Nityananda's tree also contains 70 or 80 verses in the next chapter. So it clearly is a substantial part of our understanding of the Lord. And it's here in the Adi Lila at a relatively early stage, chapter 10. So I thought we would go through some of these pastimes. We've covered King Prataparudra, Paramananda Mahapatra, Bhagavan Acharya, Brahmananda Bharati, Shiki Mahiti, Murari Mahiti, and Krishnananda and Shivananda also. So that's the meditation for today. Any questions?